Morning. Hope this isn't too loud. I know this is where usually where Kevin has it, but he was in the Army and I was in the Marines, so I'm probably a little louder than he was. I forgot to mention, and they've already left, but they'll be back. If you see Chris and Rochelle, and of course Olivia's here, and they've got their special T-shirts on, and I don't know if any of you noticed it, but Olivia's going to be an aunt beginning next year sometime, somewhere in there. And Chris and Rochelle will be grandparents for the first time, so congratulate them next time you see them. If you are able and you are so inclined, could you please stand for the reading of God's Word with me? I will be reading from 2 Corinthians, first chapter, starting in verse 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. For just as the sufferings of Christ flow over into our lives, so also through Christ our comfort overflows. If we are distressed, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which produces in you patient endurance of the same sufferings we suffer. And our hope for you is firm, because we know that just as you share in our suffering, you also you share in our comfort. We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about the hardships we suffered in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired even of life. Indeed, in our hearts we felt the sentence of death. But this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God, who raised the dead. He has delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us. On him we have set our hope, and he will continue to deliver us as you help us by your prayers. Then many will give thanks on our behalf for the gracious favor granted us in answer to the prayers of many. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, be with us at this time as we go into your word. Help my words that you have given me to reach those that are in need. Help us all to take them into our hearts and our minds so we can take them outside these walls to further your kingdom. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I got this lesson today from a lesson that Charles Swindoll put out. It's on the internet, on Facebook every morning. Comes in about 6 a.m. in the morning every morning. I get it every day, and it's become one of those things that I look forward to every morning to read. Man of God, has been for many years. He is an ex-Marine also, just throwing that out there. But he is very insightful in what he puts on there, and I just want you to know that the credit for this not only goes to God, but to Chuck Swindoll for leading me in the right direction. Of all the letters Paul wrote, 2 Corinthians is the most autobiographical. In it, the great apostle lifts the veil of his private life and allows us to catch a glimpse of his human frailties and needs. You need to read that letter in one setting to capture the moving emotions that surged through his soul. I sat down this week and I read 2 Corinthians in one setting. I'm quite sure that every one of us out there has 45 minutes to an hour in one day to sit down and read this. I never thought before, as I read through 2 Corinthians, of the emotions that Paul puts out in this letter. Paul's compassion for the people in the church in Corinth, and it's not just in the church in Corinth, but it was Christians throughout Achaia, the Roman province comprising all the territories of Greece south of Macedonia. It's just amazing. You can read these words and feel the compassion, can feel the sadness at times that Paul has for these people. It's just amazing. He wasn't from Corinth. And for someone not to be there, it's amazing the compassion he had for these people. But if you read Paul's letters, most of them, you can tell that most of the people that Paul started churches, most places, that he had the same compassion for all of them. He was writing to them because the Corinthian church had been infiltrated by false teachers who were challenging both Paul's personal integrity and his authority as an apostle. Because he had announced that he was changing his itinerary from two short visits to one long visit, they were trying to say he couldn't be trusted. Because he always mentioned to them that they need to follow through with their pledge of money, they turned it around and were telling the people there that he was just putting that money in his pocket. So this was the challenge Paul had. Yet when you read the letters, you can read the compassion that Paul had for these people. Even though there were people there that were starting to question, you know, whether compassion was for them or not. For the charge that Paul was putting money in his own pocket, that they were also, let me back up a little bit, they were also saying that he wasn't a real apostle. You know, that he was just, you know, on the fringe. I want you to turn now to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. We're going to start in verse 16. I repeat, let no one take me for a fool, but if you do, then receive me just as you would a fool, so that I may do a little boasting. In this self-confidence boasting, I am not talking as the Lord would, but as a fool. Since many are boasting in the way the world does, I too will boast. You gladly put up with fools since you are so wise. In fact, you even put up with anyone who enslaves you or exploits you or takes advantage of you or pushes himself forward or slaps you in the face. To my shame, I admit that we were too weak for that. What anyone else dares to boast about, I am speaking as a fool. I also dare to boast about. Are they Hebrew? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they Abraham's descendants? So am I. Are they servants of Christ? And this one, in my Bible, it's in parentheses here. It says, I am out of my mind to talk like this. It says, I am more. I have worked much harder, been in prison more frequently, been flogged more severely, and been exposed to death again and again. 5 times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I have been constantly on the move. I have been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my own countrymen, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, and in danger from false brothers. I have labored and toiled and have often gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst and have often gone without food. I have been cold and naked. Besides everything else, I face daily the pressure of my concern for all the churches. Who is weak and I do not feel weak? Who is led into sin and I do not inwardly burn? If I must boast, I will boast of the things that show my weakness. The God and Father of the Lord Jesus, who is to be praised forever, knows that I am not lying. In Damascus, the governor under King Aretas had the city of Damascus guarded in order to arrest me, but I was lowered in a basket from a window in the wall and slipped through his hands." So these people are telling them that he's not a real apostle. Five times he was beaten, 39 lashes. Five times. He was beaten with rods three times. He was stoned one time. Do you think that someone that is not living for Christ would go through that? And yet these people were there falsely accusing him of all these different things. How close it makes us feel to him when we picture him as a man with real honest-to-goodness problems just like you and me. I have problems, but I did not have the problems that Paul had. And yet, when you read the New Testament, how many of the letters do we receive from Paul? How much do we get from the writings that Paul wrote to the churches? Read 2 Corinthians and feel how Paul felt about the churches that he started. Now, the title of this is Comfort / Suffering. Now, in my Bible, in my study Bible, it says this section is called The God of All Comfort. Okay, so if you look at verses 3 through 7, count the number of times the word comfort is used. It's like 9 or 10 times. Comfort. Now, this is a man who later on writes about being beaten for Christ. And he's talking about comfort. How you can give people comfort. How he gives people comfort. Did you just read everything that he went through? And what is his concern? He starts out writing to these people about comfort, their comfort. How does a person do that? Well, we don't do it on our own. There's nothing out there that would make a human being on their own go through all that. It's only through Christ. He doesn't even, in all that that I read earlier, it's the next section up, he talks about, everybody knows about Paul's thorn in the side. Everybody, there's been great speculation on Paul's thorn in the side. Nobody knows for sure what Paul's thorn in the side was. There are people that think that, you know, it was his eyesight. You know, they say that his eyesight was failing. Most of his stuff was written by a scribe. But some people think that he had something physically wrong with him. Some people say it might have been the fact that his early years when he was known as Saul has always come back to haunt him. He felt guilty about it his whole life. We don't know what the thorn in his side was. But I'm thinking with everything else he went through, if he even mentions the thorn in the side, it must have been something significant because of everything else he went through. But to me, it's just amazing that he starts this letter out talking about comfort. How do we comfort somebody? And when you go into this and you read it some more, and it's like Chuck Swindoll pointed out, You comfort somebody because you suffered. In today's society, that doesn't even make sense to us. Most people out there, if I told them that you can comfort somebody because of the way you've suffered, they're going to look at you like you're nuts. Nobody wants to suffer so I can go help somebody else. What happened to Paul? He suffered greatly. His compassion for people to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ was off the scales. You know, we can have comfort all we want. Okay, when my kids were small, and even to this day, it still continues. You always want to do everything you can to keep them from suffering. Okay? If there's anything you can do to comfort them, to keep them from suffering, you do that. Because they're your children. Paul had this for everybody that he came in contact with. This is the feeling Paul had, to comfort everybody. How does he comfort them? Because he lets them know where their salvation comes from. It's through Christ. Okay. If you'll look in this word comfort that he uses in these, the root word is parakaleo. It means literally to call alongside. Okay, it's more than a pat on the back. It's more than a pat on the back and telling someone, well, God bless you. It's the comfort that you can wrap your arm around that person and tell them, I know what you're going through. This happened to me. Or I know somebody that this happened to. Let me tell you how you get through this. It's not a, you'll be okay. You know, it'll be okay. That's comfort, yes. But this is, grab a hold of them, stand beside them, and let them know. When Jared was a freshman in high school, Miss Sinewall had a freshman football team. Well, all the games they were showing up for, the other teams didn't have a freshman football team, so they were sending their JV football team. Jared was 5 foot nothing, weighed 145 pounds, and he was the center for the freshman of Miss Sinewall. This one particular game, the nose guard on the other team was a junior at 6 foot four, 265 pounds. And that's who Jared's supposed to block the whole game. Okay? This guy in the fourth quarter hit Jared so hard, he went up and came down and couldn't get up. And I wanted to jump over the fence and run out there and pick him up and just take him off the field. That was the comfort I knew then that I could give him. Okay? I'd pick him up and take him out. When Kristen was in high school, she played in the band and she sang in the choir. She went to all these competitions. And one time, we have a thing at home just full of medals. There's one second place medal out of all of them. There's 20 some on there. It might be 30. One second place medal. When she was singing, and she knew she messed up when she was singing it, when she came out of the room, she was in tears. She comes running towards me and Belinda. Belinda put her arms out, and Kristen grabbed me. It was a great moment for Dad, trust me. Because my daughter came to me, Belinda was standing there like, what's going on here? But I was able to comfort her. But it's even this comfort that he's talking about is even more than that. And how can he talk about this comfort? Because he suffered. I guess I could say for Jared, you know, been there, done that. Except for I really wasn't ever small. I was born a month early and weighed 10 pounds. So, you know, I've been big my whole life. So when I was on the football field, very rarely did I play against somebody that was bigger than me. As far as singing goes, anybody that's ever stood close to me, they know that I'm not even in the same category as Kristen would have been. People put fingers in the ears when they stand next to me when I sing. But I was still able to comfort them because they're my children. I've suffered, you know, I was able to come. But this even goes beyond that. Let me read this here. This word involves genuine, in-depth understanding, deep-down compassion and sympathy. It seems especially appropriate since it says that God our Father is the God of all comfort, who comforts us in our affliction. Our loving Father is never preoccupied or removed when we are enduring sadness and affliction. If you'll turn with me to Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 through 16, it emphasizes this. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our times of need. Christ came to earth as a human being for us, just so people can't say, well, he doesn't know what I'm going through. Not only does Christ know, Christ went through it. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 6, verses 31 and 32. So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. It's all further proof. Christ knows what we're going through. Only through Christ can you get through this stuff. When someone goes through something hard, something rough, I don't know how they get through it if they are not a Christian, if they do not know Christ. And where I work, there's a lot of them out there. But you know what? They know that I'm a Christian man. So when they go through something, what's the first thing they do? They come find me and want me to pray for them. Great, I'll pray for you. But you know what you need? And that's like, well, just pray for me. It'll be okay. You know, most of them don't want to hear the truth. Verse 4. Let me get it. Oh, I better get in the right chapter here. Right book. Okay, in verse 4. Who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with comfort? God allows suffering so that we might have the capacity to enter into others' sorrow and affliction. If you have suffered a broken leg, been confined to crutches for weeks, you are in complete sympathy with someone else on crutches, even years after your affliction. The same is true for the loss of a child, emotional depression, an auto accident, undergoing unfair criticism, financial burdens. God gives his children the capacity to understand by bringing similar sufferings into their lives. Bruises attract one another. If something has happened to you, that's where you can go to that person and wrap your arms around them and tell them, I know what you're going through. This is how I got through it. This is how you can get through it, through Christ. And if anybody's been on crutches, Aaron's right here. He could use some, you know, he could be, how many more? Two more months at least? He'd be hobbling around on those things. So I've been there, been on crutches. It's not fun. But that's why we suffer. So we can go and help somebody else. Yeah, you're probably thinking the same thing I was thinking. I can help. I don't have to suffer. Just, you know, I can help. Just tell me what to do. I just don't want to suffer. But to be able to wrap your arms around them and comfort them, you have to suffer. Going on to verse number 9. All right, I lost verse 9. Indeed, in our hearts we felt the sentence of death. But this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God who raised the dead. God also allows suffering so that we might learn what it means to depend on Him, not on our own strength and resources. Suffering do that? It forces us to lean on Him totally, absolutely. Over and over, he reminds us of the danger of pride, but it frequently takes suffering to make the lesson stick. Pride is smashed most effectively when the suffering comes suddenly, surprisingly. The express trains of heaven are seldom announced by a warning bell. They dash suddenly and abruptly into the station of the soul. Perhaps that has been your experience recently. Don't resent the affliction as an intruder. Welcome it as God's message to stop trusting in your flesh and start leaning on Him. When that person is suffering and they're suffering something that you've gone through and you grab them and you pull them close and you tell them how to get through it, this is how you get through it. Through Christ. You're not going to do it on your own. I've already stated, when someone's going through something that doesn't know Christ, I don't know how they get through it. Maybe that's why today's society's gone haywire or whatever. Because they don't trust in God. We cannot do it on our own. You go out to the bookstore and you go into a self-help section and it's going to tell you, all these books are going to tell you, you can do this, you can do it, you can do it, you can do it. You can do it if you trust in God. There's certain things that you can do by yourself. But if there is somebody that is going through something and they need your help, it's through Christ. When you are going through something, it's through Christ. Don't do it on your own. Now in verse 11, my Bible, I don't know if you noticed, but I keep emphasizing the word that. It doesn't have the word that. It should be in the translation that he had. It's that thanks may be given on our behalf for the gracious favor granted us in answer to prayers of many. Honestly, have you said, thanks, Lord, for this test? Have you finally stopped struggling and expressed to Him how much you appreciate His loving sovereignty over your life? I submit that one of the reasons our suffering is prolonged is that we take so long saying, thank you, Lord, with an attitude of genuine appreciation. Are you kidding me? I'm going through something rough and I'm supposed to thank God for it? Yes. Does that make sense? If you know Christ, yes, it makes sense. How many times have you prayed for something and your prayers are answered and you go off and go, yep, everything's better? We forgot about Christ. We forgot that we prayed for this. Okay? This happened to you. Thank God that you were able to survive it. Thank God that He has shown you the way. And then be prepared sometime in your life to grab a hold of that person that is going through something and let them know how they can make it through this. I like these couple of quotes here. How unfinished and rebellious and proud and unconcerned we would be without suffering. Alan Redpath, the beloved evangelist and former pastor of Moody Bible College in Chicago, once remarked, this is great, when God wants to do an impossible task, He takes an impossible individual and crushes him. If you don't know Christ, that statement makes absolutely no sense to you. If all your trust is not in Christ, that statement may not make sense to you. Here's another statement on suffering I heard, Chuck Swindoll heard years ago. Pain plants the flag of reality in the fortress of a rebel heart. May these things encourage you the next time God heats up the furnace. When something happens to you, you got a lot of people out there say there's a reason why it happened to you. Do I know what the reason is? No. How are you going to get through it? These are the steps, okay? This is how you're going to get through it. Remember that you're suffering for a reason. Thank God for that. Sounds weird. Sounds strange. Doesn't make sense to most people. Thank God. Learn from it. Move on. And be ready. Because somewhere down the line, it's going to be your turn. And you're going to be the comforter. And you're going to get to teach someone. And you're going to get to hold them close. Not just pat them on the back and tell them everything's going to be okay. You're going to grab them. You're going to wrap them up and hold them close and tell them why it's going to be okay. And why is it going to be okay? Because Christ is the center of it all. It's nothing we can do. Nothing anybody can do. Christ is the center. Here at Unity Christian Church, we like to offer every week an opportunity to come forward, to give your life to Christ, to confess your sins, to go into the water, to be baptized, to be raised a new creation in Christ. If you have not done so, I offer that opportunity to you as the praise team sings their next song.